Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Dave Erfle, founder and editor of the Junior Minor Junkie. Now Dave, let's start off with the precious metals as we always do, and gold, well, that continues to be pretty boring, hanging right around that 1820 level. Silver, on the other hand, that is dropping just below $21. Again, silver is threatening to break down, and the gold stocks and the silver stocks, those are not looking great. GDX is now below 29, also threatening to break down. SIL, the silver miners ETF, that's below 28, and that is continuing to break down, setting up new lower lows, at least in that short-term chart. Dave, your general takeaway from, again, the stocks continuing to underperform and now looking pretty bad in terms of potential breakdown.
Yeah, the silver price and the mining sector continues to be tied to the hip, showing relative weakness to the gold price. And the gold price continues to diddle around between that uptrend line, which is now at about 1805 from the last time it touched at 1675 level early last year. That uptrend line is holding around, and it's being squeezed between that uptrend line about 1805, and its cap being capped at the 200-day moving average, which is now around 1843-44, right around there, and that's flatlined. So yeah, gold is pretty boring, but silver and the gold stocks started to see lots of capitulation and a lot of juniors. The GDXJ. It continues to make lower lows, while the GDX is threatening to do so, but it has not yet done so. So the GDX still has, it made its low back in September of last year. So we haven't had a lower low in the GDX or the HUI yet, but we're continuing to see lower lows in GDXJ, and it's getting close to that area that I've been talking about for the last few months while I was building up a lot of cash. Expecting it to take place, which that 32 level marks the 50% retracement from the high that GDX hit back in August of 2020 at almost 64. So the GDXJ is now, as we're speaking, about 6% away from there. But the 35 level in the GDXJ has managed to hold on a weekly closing basis. That's been a key level for the GDXJ. It's been long-term support. So if we see a weekly close below 35 this week, then I wouldn't be surprised to see that 32 number tested pretty quickly. And we've got a pretty strong possibility of a catalyst coming up here this Thursday, which is the U.S. PCE data coming out. You know, that's the Fed's preferred data usage for inflation. And if it comes in hot, then that's going to affect the gold price lower, and it's really going to affect gold stocks and silver, which have, like I said, been tied to the hip here. They continue to go lower. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how the market reacts to this PCE data that comes out this Thursday.
Dave, it just feels like overall, everybody's watching to see what's going to happen with inflation, not just immediately either, but just really over the next few months. And they're already pricing in the July and the September Fed rate hikes. And it seems like everything, not just the precious metals market, but just all markets are in a wait and see mode. They're waiting to see what the Fed's going to do. They're waiting to see if they stay the course, if they pause before the November elections. Is there anything that can move these markets in the interim?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think it's all about the Fed right here. You know, barring a swan event, a black swan event coming out of left field, a geopolitical swan event coming out of left field. But yeah, it's all about the Fed right now. Absolutely. And and after this PCE data, you know, the next catalyst will be July 13th, which is the CPI data. And then of course we have the FOMC meeting at the end of July, and also the Q2 GDP number coming out at the same time. So if we get a negative GDP print for Q2, then we're officially in a recession, because we've had back-to-back quarters of negative growth after the Q4 growth rate of over 6%. So yeah, I mean, everybody is in wait and see mode. We're seeing a short covering rally in the stock market here. It looks like the S&P, the Dow, and the NASDAQ have bounced up to their 18-day moving averages that are sinking pretty fast and rolling over from there today. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, you know, into the next Fed meeting. But as far as the gold stocks are concerned, they're getting really oversold, you know, and it looks like this is going to be a rotational bottom as opposed to a spike bottom like we had in March of 2020. And rotational bottoms are very frustrating to deal with because, you know, you have bulls with cash waiting for that capitulation moment where they can come in and buy stocks that are on their watch list. You know, that's the situation I'm in. I built up this huge cash position, you know, so, you know, the cash position part of my portfolio is hoping for a capitulation move, a spike move lower that has an intraday reversal from a specific area. And that specific area is the 32 level on the GDXJ. You know, the cash portion of my portfolio is hoping for that to take place while the core positions that I'm holding continue to go lower. So, you know, that's kind of the position you want to be during these events, you know, when you're getting really close to a sustainable bottom. And I really think we're going to see that bottom this year. Is it going to be in the July, August timeframe, or is it going to be in the September, October timeframe? I think that's the big question. I think the odds favor some sort of bottom happening here in July, August. You know, historically, when you have such weak markets, especially when you have such a long consolidation process, you know, it happened in 2018, which is something we have a similar base case with. You know, 2016, we had that huge run up, and then we had a slow grind 2-year consolidation, and that 2-year consolidation process ended about where it peaked the same month in August, in like July, August. And the GDXJ is getting towards an RSI level where it's getting really oversold, which is the 30 RSI area. And also, if you take a look at the bullish percentage index for the miners, that's down to the 20 area. I think in 2018, it got down to 16, getting close to that. So we're really getting close to these oversold levels where it's starting to get tempting to take starter positions in a few of these juniors that I missed on the way up and continue to go lower. It's funny because, you know, during these moves in this sector, they always go higher than you expect in up legs and much lower than you expect in down legs.
Dave, what about some of the stocks that you're watching? One thing I noticed today, and we were talking about this before, is that some of the even higher quality, let's say mid-tiers and juniors, they're getting hit. They continue to get hit here. We're not seeing almost any bifurcation from the higher quality stocks towards investors. So that to me is also concerning because usually there are some stocks that give you a little bit of a heads up that things are turning.
Right. Absolutely. And that's a sign of capitulation. People just don't want anything to do with this sector. I mean, you know, we've been in this sector for a while now. You know, I've been in this sector for 20 years. I've gone through these moments a few times. And that's generally how they end, when everybody just throws everything out the window, regardless of fundamentals of the company, regardless of fundamentals of the gold price. As far as which ones will bottom first, historically, it's been the majors and the royalty companies that bottom first. But like you said, we're not seeing any signs of those bottoming either. So that just tells me that. And plus, you know, also you're seeing a lot of this selling on really low volume. And a lot of the companies that I've talked to over the past month or so, you know, institutions are holding, management is holding, you know, this is all retail capitulation selling. And when you see it on really low volumes and some of these juniors, there's just no interest yet to pick up shares at these levels just yet. You know, they're waiting for that spark What's that spark going to be? You know, I mean, because, you know, we're all expecting the Fed to pivot at some point because they can't keep raising interest rates to completely destroy the economy. They can only destroy the economy so much before they have to pivot, because, you know, first of all, this is an election year. You know, they don't want the, you know, they don't want to see the stock market, they don't want to see the S&P 500 lose the 3200 level and just continue to tank from there right before an election. So, and in order to do that, they're going to have to basically hint that, hey, we're going to stop raising interest rates here because, look, inflation looks like it's peaking a little. And, you know, all the demand destruction that they brought into the marketplace here, of course, you're going to start to see inflation start to peak a little, and they're going to run with that like nobody's business, because, you know, they can't afford to raise the rates too much here. You know, and also the gold price is pretty much priced in the Fed funds rate being well over 3% by the end of the year. And I just don't see how they can do that. I don't see how they can raise the Fed funds rate any much past the 2.25, 2.5 area, before it really starts to weigh on all this debt.
Yeah, Dave, we're going to have to just follow along with the inflation story, with the Fed rate hiking story, and see where this tipping point is. But you are the junior miner junkie, and I do want to ask you about our beleaguered junior miners, because the companies that are in cash flow, like a producer or even a royalty company, they're going to be fine. They're going to bounce back when the sector bounces back. But what are you doing with pre-cash flow companies that are doing nothing but burn through cash and are now raising at dangerously low levels? Some companies are forced to raise here, or just did a raising, and it's at a price that's maybe 50, 60% lower than where their high was. Are you avoiding those companies? Are you trying to get in on private placements? How are you playing the pre-cash flow companies?
Yeah, I'm pretty much avoiding those companies. Plus, you know, you're having this CapEx cost creep really affect some of the a lot of these companies openly. And once it takes a company like, you know, Ascot Resources recently, you know, that they continue to face these CapEx cost creep problems while they're building their mine. And same with Argonaut. You know, they just announced that they're going to have to raise, they're going to have to dilute their stock they're going to have to double their stock, their share structure, to raise enough capital now to finish the Maginot mine. And that's decimated their share price. You know, they went from Maginot being basically fully funded to announcing to the market twice that they've had to raise the CapEx on that project. And a lot of these other companies are seeing this. A lot of, you know, shareholders of other companies are seeing this, and they're giving up the ghost on these stocks, and they're getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And like I said, it's mostly retail. You know, I'm watching insider buys on these companies. If I start to see insiders buying the stock of these companies that are de-risking these high margin projects that are at or close to the finance stage, and they're gonna have to start raising money, you see a lot of insider buying. You know, that's a great sign to take a starter position. So I'm looking at companies like that, because, you know, there's a few that I missed during the run up, and they're getting really cheap now, but they could still get a lot cheaper. But I've yet to see, you know, insiders and management selling very many of these stocks. You know, it's mostly been retail.
All right, Dave, we'll wrap it up here. You're right, it has been a lot of retail. However, we have also heard of a lot of funds that have exited the sector already. So, you know what? Maybe that selling's over. Fact of the matter is, it's a tough environment for the precious metals stocks. And now a lot of these ETFs, they're coming very close to breakdown levels. Question being, where's that bottom going to be? Dave, thank you as always for your time, man. We'll chat again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
You too, Corey. Look forward to it.